And welcome to the Digi Guys podcast. We have a very special guest for this week. Very, very special.
Very, very special.
It's our very own Joe Loftus.
Thanks very much. Thanks,
welcome.
Boys. How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad, no.
Very good, very good. I'm just going to give a quick run through of what we're going to talk about first. So we're going to do a quick intro of what you do, Joe, and what you're about.
No worries.
We're going to talk about your podcast that you run yourself, All Things Podcast and Audio as well.
Yep.
Christmas advertising.
I think that's going to cause some arguments, the Christmas ads one.
Yeah,
possibly.
Hopefully.
There's already been office conversations about it. So.
Good, good. We're going to talk about Black Friday that's coming up, and then brand awareness around all those topics we just talked about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get stuck into it. Joe,
let's go.
Do you want to give us just a brief outline of
who I am?
Yeah.
Who I am? Joe, I suppose I work here with Digi Guys with the two boys for the last, how long? 6 months, lads? Nearly. Pushing 6 months now.
Since June, isn't it? Yeah, June this year.
Since June, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say to you.
Do you want to tell us what you actually do for us here? Or what you help us with?
I suppose Digi
Part
Marketing,
of your,
really,
your many
it?
Roles, yeah.
Part of my many roles. Mixture of, I suppose, content creation, digital marketing, looking after creative campaigns. I suppose you'd sum it up, Shane, would you?
That's it, yeah.
Bit of a project manager, digital lead, as you said yourself.
I'd say you're like a master of all, really.
Master of all, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like that thing we said in last week's podcast where, you know, when we started off the business, we had certain positions in mind. And I think when we worked with certain clients and we realized what we actually wanted to do and what worked best for us, I think positions changed. And I know Joe wasn't with us at that stage, but I think the direction we wanted certain staff members and employees to have changed from that then as well.
No, absolutely. And I suppose we first came in contact with Joe through his podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Joe ran a very successful Cork-based podcast, The Frankly Nuts.
If you want to say that, Joe, I'll take it, Shane. Thanks very much.
When is that back? I've asked.
We're actually hoping to be back early December.
Okay.
A couple of weeks into December, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, I suppose we started that. When did we start it? Jeez. Last July.
Under pressure now.
July. And we done on second episode, is it?
Yeah.
I think it was the second
episode. I was actually, yeah.
We were, Sean and McGuire, first episode. And then,
you were stuck that way.
Yeah.
But, I was actually on for the second last one as well, or the third last one.
One of the last, you and yourself and Jay, yeah.
We had a bit of aggro.
Bit of controversy. But yeah, I suppose we started, how did we get the idea originally? I would have met Kev, my co-host, in college.
Your partner.
And,
Joey, co-host,
you know, like we're not hosting Saturday Night Live or anything like.
Yeah.
You never know, Joe.
So we met in college, I suppose, in CIT, and then we were actually, how we got going was we were going to go to Utrecht over in the Netherlands for semester two of our final year of college. And we were kind of talking about vlogging it and stuff like that, like at the time, just to document the process. And then we said, do you know what, will we start a podcast instead? That might be a bit cooler. Like, do you know, we kind of both enjoyed podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I suppose we said, look, we'll start before we go over, that we can kind of build before we get over there.
Mm.
And then as it turns out, we just got so busy and so hooked into that we want to keep it going in Cork. And we never ended up actually going to Utrecht after. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't head over at all at all?
No. So we set up the podcast to go to Utrecht and document that process. And then we got so caught up with it here in Cork that we just stayed here to work on it.
Do you think here in Ireland that people are still slow to listen to podcasts, or they haven't really kicked off?
I think it's kicking off.
Okay.
In the last year or so, I think you'll find even locally there's been more and more set up, like, hasn't there?
Yeah.
But I think it is definitely kicking off.
I think if you look at the likes of Off the Ball and News Talk, Joe, did Joe Daddy ever?
Joe have a couple, like they'd have a rugby hour and a GA hour and stuff like that. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but it seems to be all around sport, isn't it? Sport and news.
Yeah, so what, like, if you were to sum up your podcast in one...
That's a good question. We've been asked this plenty of times. I suppose what we really wanted was to sit down with people who are doing something maybe a little out of the ordinary or something a little different.
Special, Joe. Thanks.
According to Dan. but I suppose really just because we wanted to kind of delve a bit deeper into the mind of these people, like, you know, and find out what they're doing with their everyday lives that makes them that bit successful or that bit... that bit different, I suppose, like, really, do you know? So yeah, we'd like businessmen and women, sports stars, influencers, things like that, like, you know.
Okay. And apart from Dan, obviously, because he was the biggest that you had.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say even biggest, but who was the, I suppose, the person that you found most interesting to talk to? Just, in your, just personally.
For me, it would have been Johnny Holland. You know Johnny Holland? He used to play for Munster. Munster. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Like, that podcast session here lasted about 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, it was really long. And we got nearly 100
questions.
Did
he retire?
Sent in.
Was he?
Yeah, true injury. Yeah. And what was so interesting about him for me was just his attitude towards the injury and towards something that was like, that was his dream, and it was crushed, like, basically.
Yeah.
And
it's someone's career, like, isn't it? So,
the resilience and stuff that he showed after that then was phenomenal, really, like, you know.
Yeah.
And he's doing well for himself now, as far
I
as
actually
I
actually played football with Johnny up until under 21s. But he was always rugby first. I actually didn't know, I knew he played rugby, I didn't know he was that good at it. I didn't know he had the chance to make a pro, but obviously that kind of a story is heartbreaking for someone to think that they're going to make their whole career out of it, and for it to be ruined by injury. At what age was he? Probably only 25
or something like that. I would think.
But he's still working within the industry now, isn't he? In terms of
nutrition is a big thing now.
Okay.
With Munster? No.
On his own.
I think that'll happen in time. I think if you have connections like that, you're naturally going to get into it.
And he's probably very good at it too. So.
Yeah, and I think he's doing like even analysis with TG Cahir now and stuff for rugby games. Like, you know,
yeah,
so
I've seen that.
He's getting exposure and all that. Like.
And I think I've seen recently that he started doing talks on, I think maybe around mental health as well.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that?
Probably.
I know he was doing nutrition talks, but I think I've seen somewhere that a part of those talks were, you know, how we coped with, you know, having to retire with injury and stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, so your podcast is back in December?
Hopefully, yeah.
Okay.
That's the plan, yeah.
We're
in plans at the moment. Like.
The reason I've asked this now is because I probably ask you every second day inside here.
Yeah.
When's it coming back?
Hoping before Christmas, anyway, is the plan. But
put you on the spot here now again, but do you see it going the same kind of format, same style, or do you see it completely different to what
so
it was?
So I suppose the reason we took a break was because we took a break back in March. Basically, we were finally our college students, and obviously final exams are coming up was one thing, but we kind of got burnt out by the whole thing as well, that we found we'd set ourselves every Sunday evening was the plan to bring out the podcast, 7 o'clock every Sunday evening, and we found we could be editing for 2-3 evenings every week, and it was just like, it was just getting too heavy, really, I suppose. So I think when we go back now, we mightn't set to a schedule like that where it's every Sunday, like, you know, putting that, rather that you just do one, and when you've edited and finished, it's out then. Like, so it might be one every 2 weeks or something.
Yeah,
definitely take a bit more of a relaxed approach with it.
Do you find it hard to get on guests? In
not
that
really.
Okay.
Not really, because I suppose the odd people, yeah, but I think everybody loves being talked about
being asked
about themselves. Mm-hmm. And even, like, you know, you might get big guests or whatever, and someone might say, geez, like, how'd you get them or whatever? But I do think it kind of comes back to that thing again, that even though you mightn't have a big following as a podcast yourselves, they have the big following themselves, so they can push it out there themselves.
Yeah,
and it's like somebody has interviewed them about themselves, like, you know, if you get me.
Okay.
Mm.
If there's someone out there now that you'd love to get on, who would it be?
Ooh, good question.
Oh, like, dream guests across the world locally?
Let's go the smaller version first, and then the big
Ireland
dream.
And the world.
Within Ireland.
And not just because someone has a massive following, because you would genuinely like to have a conversation.
Like,
with
we say, within Ireland now, like, I'd love to get someone like Conor McGregor's coach, John Kavanagh.
Cool.
Who's someone who I think could be a possibility, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, I'd love to get, like, Conor McGregor, like, but busy man, I'd imagine.
spending all those dollars.
And then across the world, like, jeez.
You could say Conor McGregor.
Anyone, like, it could be Conor McGregor or even like Casey Neistat or something like that. Like, I'd love to have on, like, you know.
Okay, so it's not just sport.
No, it could be anything.
Okay.
Anything at all, like,
Do you think over the next number of years that podcast will naturally become bigger, that a lot more people will listen to them and they'll watch them then as well, or how do you see it going?
I think so. I think the watching side of it, like, we actually started by doing a video podcast, or like, it is a video podcast, but I initially started watching podcasts, like, as you say, they're watching, but
Joe,
I think listening there's more of an appeal to that because you can listen in the car and all that. Like, yeah. But I do think they will grow. Like, I'm even listening to one at the moment. It is about Aaron Hernandez. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He was a New England Patriots player, and he was involved in a murder and suicide and stuff then, right?
Oh, yeah, but, okay.
The reason I'm listening, it's like a documentary for your ears. Like, it's unbelievable. It's so highly produced now and everything, like, that it's almost like sitting down and watching a documentary rather than just like a raw podcast and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do think they're going to progress, like, you know. And
it's funny because, like, I actually spend most of my time listening to podcasts as well. I wouldn't have that much time to watch them because obviously, you know, you have to be watching your phone. You can't do that when you're driving. Mm. So I think it's easier as you're walking around and as you're driving to listen to podcasts. Mm. But I do think then the likes of, you know, Joe Rogan and podcasts like that, people will still watch clips from them.
Yeah, I suppose.
I hope because we're recording this.
Us as well.
Yeah.
I think podcast-wise, I think it's good for business because, especially if they're not used to the camera,
yeah,
like, it's an easy way to introduce yourself. Mm-hmm. That if you're not comfortable with the camera, that you can just get your voice out there.
Yeah,
through the podcast voice, through the audio way.
Like, the cameras are just set up to the side, and you know, you kind of don't have to worry rather than looking at the camera. Yeah. Like,
and you're talking about something that you're interested in, and that you know what you're talking about as well. You know, So should we move on to the hot debate of Christmas ads?
Cool.
This is where it gets heated now.
Yeah.
This is where it gets heated. So I think most people, I think last week we said that the John Lewis ad was coming, wasn't out yet, but it was actually posted out that evening.
So when we actually recorded the podcast,
yeah,
it was actually being played evening.
Okay.
And then the podcast went live on the following evening. So it was like we almost missed the boat. But
yeah.
Okay.
Well, we did really.
But it wasn't actually out by the time we were speaking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I suppose I've seen the John Lewis ads for the last 4 or 5 years since they've been coming out, into something I've waited for every Christmas, like a little child. Because I think it's the one company that has hit the nail on the head every year that they just grab people's attention. But this year they brought out the one, and I know you've seen it on with Elton John.
Elton, yeah.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
You did.
I loved it.
Go on.
It's one of the most powerful videos I've ever seen. Okay. Ever, I think. Full stop. Yeah, full stop. Sorry. So I suppose the angle, as you said, you'd seen the ones previously.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually probably the first one that I'd seen properly. Like, I hadn't seen the previous ones. So that was the first one I'd watched and just thought it was unreal. Like, I suppose were you saying usually they don't use like big celebrities or big names?
I think it was down to, like, I do think it's an amazing video, but I think the reason I didn't like it was because for anyone that has seen John Lewis ads, they know they follow a certain theme.
Yeah.
So they get people you don't know, they pick a song that you would recognise, but it's sung a different way and sung by a singer you don't know.
Yeah.
But the video is, I think it tells a story of, you know, usually a family situation or something that's topical, and it's a nice story and it kind of pulls at your heartstrings. But this was like an ad for Elton John. I honestly thought, because I think I seen it on Facebook first, someone, you know, shared the link for it and I clicked on it. I honestly thought it was a joke or it was a mistake that it was an Elton John. Yeah, I honestly did. I thought it was an Elton John ad.
Yeah, because you showed me. And I thought first that it was a cinema ad for
Rocketman.
For Rocketman that's coming out as well. I don't know when that's coming out, but I was like, oh, that's okay, I'll wait now for the actual actual John Lewis ad come on out. But that was it. It's funny because we've all different. You're not a big fan of it.
I don't like it.
You love it.
I love it.
And I'm almost on the fence. I'm like, I love the high production of it.
Yeah.
Like the camera work, it's visually very good. Like, you know,
awesome,
but the story wise compared to other John Lewis ads, I'm like, no, that's,
I think,
that doesn't.
Yeah. I do think it's still a good story.
Well, the story, but it doesn't. It doesn't match with the rest. Story. Yeah, yeah.
If it was, another company brought it out, I would have loved it. But it's just, it just came across as an Elton John ad, and that's not John Lewis. And I think a lot of people, the first place I watched it was on, it might have been on, geez, I actually can't remember, but all the comments that were underneath it on Facebook, no one liked it.
Yeah.
Everyone was saying, this is not a John Lewis ad. I'm really disappointed about it because it's the one company I think every other company and every other brand tried to match.
Yeah.
And this year, everyone, for me, is talking about Iceland.
Iceland, the country.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it, no.
Iceland.
This is the one you had a bit of an issue with last week, is
I haven't seen it. We won't bring it back.
Yeah. We won't go back to it.
Okay.
But like the reason, I don't know, I really do think they missed it this year, and I think they realised it as well. And I'm actually surprised that they sat around the table and agreed on this video.
Yeah.
And when it was shown, obviously it was shown to their board of directors or their team before it went out there. I'm surprised they let it go out. Because it really did come across as an Elton John ad.
If you took that video now on its own merits, we'd say, right?
Yeah.
Not knowing years gone by and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would be?
Well, I would have loved it. I, that's the sole reason I don't like it, was because it's not John Lewis, it's not their brand. It's totally different to what they have been posting. And when people are waiting for a John Lewis ad, they're expecting something different. Like, they've gone from like an old man on a moon with a telescope, you've seen that one?
Yeah.
And to, I think last year's one was a fox jumping on a trampoline. Is that last year?
I miss it.
It's John Lewis. It's either last year or the year before.
It's kind of animation version.
Yeah, I think it's last year. And then to an Elton John promo, it just didn't make sense. And I've read recently that the story behind it isn't even actually true, that Elton John doesn't even talk to his mom and he didn't get a piano for Christmas. So that even makes me dislike it.
It's such
even
a good
more.
Story though, like, stop
it's
ruining
made
it there.
Yeah.
So yeah, but do you know, I think the message is very good, that like, it is more than a gift than it was, like, well, I suppose now that you say the story isn't true, it doesn't sound as great, but like, that piano was more than a gift to Elton John. Like, you know, it was a lifetime full of like fame, money, success, like all that, like, you know.
It's all lies then at the end of it. You know who I actually
I just don't want to believe it.
Yeah, are you an Elton John fan?
No, not really, like, but I just saw the video, like.
It was good. You know who I think actually shit all over it was Lidl. Sorry for the French.
Yeah.
Was Lidl.
Oh, yeah.
I sent that on. Sent that on.
Yeah. We have a WhatsApp group.
Top dog.
And yeah. Joe sent in a picture of, basically, do you want to explain what it was?
It was a tweet, wasn't it?
I think they tweeted it out,
They tweeted it out, but Lidl had a poster saying, it's so in the Elton John ad was your song, Elton John's song, obviously, for anyone who hasn't seen it. And obviously the lyrics, it's a little bit funny. And then Lidl said, like, it's a little bit funny. As the, I suppose, the big caption. And then they had a keyboard, was it?
A keyboard.
And then not everyone can afford the £872 piano.
And they were sending it for
£90 £89.99 or something like that.
That's
like,
genius. I think that, for me, was better than the Elton John video.
So would you deem the John Lewis ad not a, like a non-success?
Yeah. Well, I think...
But even though the three of us now are sitting around
talking about it, I was just about to say that I think people will still discuss it.
Is it kind of like...
But I think...
No news is bad, like, you know... what's that, bad press?
Yeah, no, but I think...
No, it seems bad for listening.
I don't know, when people are expecting a good video and everyone is looking forward to it, and when people are posting their Christmas videos, people are saying, right, you can't judge it until you see the John Lewis ad. And it's the one company that brings out these ads. And then when it was brought out, it was almost like an anticlimax, because people are expecting something totally different, and, you know, people, something again to pull at your heartstrings. But I honestly, and I'd be a real emotional person when I'm watching videos, I'd get it. But it was the whole way through, it just felt like an Elton John ad. And when it got to the end, it was like, okay, that's the whole point of it, I get it. But for me, it wasn't a John Lewis ad.
Yeah, sorry, John. It's interesting.
We'd agree to disagree.
Happily.
How about the... You've seen the Boots ad?
The Boots ad, yeah.
You haven't seen the Iceland ad?
No.
Okay. What did you think of the Boots one?
The Boots one? Suppose initially I struggled to get the message when you first showed me, but then afterwards, and having... I actually saw it on TV at the weekend about three times. Like, I think it's fairly strong. Like, it's a decent ad, like, I think. Yeah. It's more... simple, like, it's probably not as high production as the John Lewis one, like, but I imagine it didn't cost so much either, like, but I think it's a good message, strong, like, you know.
I think the story is the most important thing for
it. Goes back to what we were talking about last week, is, you know, it has to have a strong story to resonate with people, doesn't it? But I thought the Boots is just clever, because obviously their demographic would be female, predominantly that demographic, and that's the, like, the three of us sat in the car and we watched the video, and I was trying to explain to you the message behind it initially.
We sound really stupid.
I didn't get it at all, and when Shane was bang on with it, really, like,
you were, but I actually think they missed it again. Everyone's going to think that I hate it.
We'll push
the John Lewis ad away, but the Boots ad, because if you look at it, right, the three of us watched it. There was only one person who kind of got it the first time around. Me and you didn't get it.
No.
What do you mean kind of got it?
Because you said you said I think this is what they're trying to say. You didn't say this is definitely what they're trying to say. Do you know what I mean? So you didn't say,
I can't remember what I said. I don't know if I said
it. It was kind of like that, wasn't it? It was kind of like, I think the point that they're trying to make is this. And it shouldn't be that. It should have been a case of three of us got it straight away. I still think it's a good ad, but let's rate it 8 out of 10. I just think if three of us watched it, and three of us, like me and you, didn't get it at all, we didn't get that part where it jumped between I can't remember the scene that was before the mum singing. I just didn't get that part. I didn't get the reason for it. And I don't think you did either, but you were trying to get what they were talking about. Okay, so the Iceland video. Joe, I know you haven't seen it, so yep. I'm going to turn to Shane. What did you think of the Iceland video? I know we mocked you last week over of the Iceland video. But for me,
I prefer not to discuss it.
But for me, it's the one that won Christmas videos, if we can say that. It's the best out of the ones that was posted.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's after getting the most exposure and the most attention on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the message, again, it really wasn't it.
Joe, will I give you a background to it? Joe, I know you haven't seen it.
I suppose. You sound like a fellow who wants to give it. Okay. So, work away.
So it basically tells the story of an orangutan in the rainforest, not in Iceland. Okay, mm-hmm. It's in a rainforest, yeah. Somewhere tropical. but that its home in the rainforest has been destroyed by massive companies who are destroying these forests to get palm oil for products. And mm-hmm. the whole story behind it was Iceland are going to be taking palm oil out of all their products, or else they're going to be taking those products off the shelves, whichever. Mm-hmm. And it got banned in the UK for being too political.
Yeah.
But I think it was probably a blessing for Iceland because they saved a fortune of money, probably saved millions that they didn't have to put it on TV. But everyone is talking about it. It's all over social media.
Mm-hmm. So I think Iceland have done very well here because it actually highlights that Iceland are a good company, mm-hmm. that they are environmentally aware of what's happening, you know.
Yeah.
I think just people will also resonate with that, you know.
Yeah.
So, Joe, I know.
Yeah, a question for you, I suppose, from your point of view. You mentioned earlier bad publicity and things like that, and there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Iceland obviously have had this ad brought out, and it was banned from UK TV.
Mm.
I suppose, from your point of view, like, what would you think about that? Like, having an ad banned and stuff, is it good for the brand? Is it bad for the brand? How would you view it yourselves?
I definitely think it was good. I think it was good. I actually think they were almost praying that it was banned.
Mm.
I don't know if they actually had that in mind when they were putting it in. I don't know if when they were placing it to whoever they were placing it to see if it could go on TV. But I think when they came back and said that it was banned, they were probably delighted with it because, you know, that's kind of almost a marketing tool for them. So that when they started posting on social media, they were saying this ad was banned. I think that was kind of the line. Mm. This was banned on UK TV. Please help us get it shared across social media. And that attracts you in straight away. As soon as you see it, you think this was banned. What was so... like what was so crazy about it that it couldn't be placed on TV, so you're just hooked straight away.
Mm.
Yeah, I think for them it's done very well that it has been banned. I'm not sure if they're going to be delighted that it was banned off TV. I'm not sure if that was their end goal, but I think they saw an opportunity and they went for it.
Yeah,
it's like they changed the message, almost going, "This was banned on TV," and that was your headline text, so almost like your newspaper headline, you know.
Yeah,
and they ran with that then, so they saw that opportunity and they got. Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, like, what a way to get people to watch a video.
Exactly.
Like, you're told not to do something, like, you're incentivized to do it. Like.
Do you think that they wouldn't have been happy with that it wasn't on TV, is it? Because
I think, like, obviously, if their initial thing is to have it, like, because Iceland's up, they've probably massive budgets as well, so they can afford to put on TV, social media. But I think their initial plan was probably to have it everywhere.
Yeah.
It was obviously a blessing in disguise that it did get banned because it just blew up completely, because otherwise, I think it probably would have just got. Not lost in the Christmas ads, but it just would have been another Christmas
one
ad.
Another, like, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think this is probably the biggest one out there at the moment.
Yeah.
There's always that thought in my head, though, like, when they were putting that forward, did they plan for it to be banned? Mm. Did they do something in it that made it be banned? You know, because, again, it's that marketing tool. I don't know. I'd always be skeptical. Not saying that it's a bad thing to do because it's an amazing publicity stunt, let's call it that, or a marketing tool. But I'd always wonder, was that their plan? Was that their plan to get it banned?
What do you think? Put your question back on you.
So yeah, I think it depends on the case. Like, do you know if they really overstep a mark, then it's not good for the company. Like, but in general, I would agree that there is no such thing as bad publicity. Like, do you know, on the whole.
No,
I definitely
just
don't
depends,
think
isn't it?
I don't think this affected their brand. I think it was a case of that it actually shine a good light on the company. But again, I don't think I'd always have that thought, alternative motive. Did they plan for it, did they do this for a reason, you know? And if they did, and if they're actually taking all their products, you know, great. And it's amazing marketing, but I wonder, I'd always question.
So next thing, Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Everyone gets sucked into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Joe, have you been...
I've something lined up, all right. as I do. Yeah, most years, all right, I would make a few purchases and stuff. But I think, like, it's nearly overhyped at times. Like, you know, I think companies might put up, we'll say, I suppose their hope is that they put up one or two decent offers, like decent items, like, mm-hmm. and then they hope you'll go along as the consumer, like, and you'll end up leaving with a trolley full of stuff, which 80% of it wasn't on sale or isn't reduced to a huge level, like, you know.
But do you remember when it first came out? I think it was obviously, it was an American thing first. And we, like, used to see viral videos of people, like, almost scrapping in the aisles.
It was crazy, like,
And that now has moved from one day to a week to almost being a month.
You've Cyber Monday now, and like the Black Friday for the last 2 weeks, things have been on sale, like, you know, and it's been at the Black Friday prices, like, I suppose.
I think all it takes is just one company to start it. As soon as one company starts it, then other companies feel they have to do it as well, because they don't want to miss out. So if your competitor has done it, then of course you're going to jump on board. Yeah. Harvey Norman here in Cork is always the first, the first.
They have a sale. They have a sale every week.
Yeah, that's true. The big sale.
The big sale. The big Sunday sale. But, yeah, but it works.
Yeah.
Like.
But the Black Friday sale probably started 2 weeks ago on radio on social media.
And, and I went in. I was in there on Sunday, and I got a Chromecast for myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, I was suckered in. I heard it. I saw it somewhere, and I was I'm going to go in there now and get that.
Yeah.
But so it definitely works as a marketing tool. Mm-hmm. But I think brands. I do think that brands have taken full advantage of that, and I think it's only gone too far.
Yeah.
But it's the same. I think it's the same at any time of year. Like, it's when you look at Christmas. Christmas has started earlier every single year. Mm-hmm. It's almost out at the same time as Halloween. It almost gets to a stage in time it's going to be Christmas all year round, because people don't, companies and brands just want to jump on it as quickly as they can, because they know as soon as they start saying the word Christmas or Black Friday, people are going to start shopping, because it's just that thing in us that we feel we need to get those offers straight away.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same as any other time of year, that it keeps moving back, and the time period gets longer, that the Black Friday now is, you know, it's probably 2 weeks beforehand, and it continues on to Cyber Monday. So it's going to be the Saturday and the Sunday in between, and then the Cyber Monday, and then probably the day after Cyber Monday. It just keeps happening.
Is there anything that you've bought now that you've been suckered into?
No, I actually...
Like, anything extravagant in the last couple of years?
It's
obviously a great time for our parents to get Christmas presents and stuff.
Yeah,
but is there anything that you go, I really like that now. I'm gonna buy that for myself.
No, I don't think I've been... I suppose I'm the type of person, if I like something, I have to have it now. I can't wait. Unless, if you're talking 2 days now, I'd wait to save €100. But I'm not going to be saving or waiting 2 or 3 months to purchase something. And again, if you're saving a fortune, that's different. But no, I'm not suckered into sales. I'm not the type of person to be going in on St. Stephen's Day at 6 o'clock in the morning to queue up and buy that jumper I was looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather stay in bed and save that, or keep that fucking...
And the chance of that jumper being there that you want is slim.
Limited.
It's crazy. I think as soon as you start flashing the word sale in front of people, it just goes mad.
Okay, so we are talking Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were a brand, or if you were a company, how would you think that you should stand out from the Black Friday badness?
So I suppose, like, how I see Black Friday down through the years and at the moment is, it's really like, I suppose on a whole, I just see like big powwow kind of graphics in your face type stuff, like leaflets and a lot of color and stuff, like, but I don't think I've actually seen any kind of promotional video around Black Friday by any brand, like, or any standout one. No, don't get me wrong, there could be ones out there, like, but I haven't seen anything too big scale or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's funny when you actually explain it, powwow graphics, I think most people actually understand that.
It's because almost like the Batman.
It is big text.
Flashing.
So you're saying that you think one way brands and companies can step out and be different is that, you know, creating clever videos around that. So almost like starting the Christmas ad type revolution around Black Friday.
A similar kind of concept to it, like,
I think that's. I'd actually agree on that, because I think if one company started doing it, if they brought out one, that was, you know, really telling a story again and actually almost mocked the Black Friday thing. You know, one company that almost has good prices all around can mock something that, oh, you know, we don't need to have something like Black Friday. People continue to shop here anyway, and do a clever video around it. I think that can almost be their trademark, and they could do something like that every year. And what would actually happen is, companies and brands will realize the importance of it and see how clever it is, and see how it's actually something that they want to jump on themselves. And I think that almost starts that, because I'd actually agree with you Black Friday marketing for me is something that I actually don't enjoy. It's real loud.
It's like who can make the most noise, isn't it?
Yeah, who has the biggest balls, that's what it is.
But it's very in your face, like, and I find that you scroll past it kind of thing, like, you know, it's all the same, like the two boys
are
stuck on balls.
Yeah, we're very mature.
You know, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's probably the biggest, apart from Christmas, it's the biggest weekend of the year in terms of money spent. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Must be up there now.
But it's in terms of marketing, then it's the time that probably least enjoy, that it's boring and every company's doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So to recap, is it basically you're saying to create?
I think something a bit different, bit new. I haven't seen any big promotional videos or anything, or creative videos or anything like that, like to the scale of the Christmas adverts. Like, do you know?
I think it's funny. It's actually, it's almost someone just puts the text Black Friday above their ad or Black Friday above that thing they're posting, and then maybe people just get it. People just get it. I think
they might just list products, and that seems to be all I have in my head from it, like, you know, through the years.
Yeah, and you're getting those brochures in the door that have,
and just into pages. The recycling bin straight away. Like, you know,
all the money spent on it straight into the recycling.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something that with brands that we're working with next year, or companies that we're working with next year, is that we recommend that they create something around Black Friday to grab people's attention, because, again, it's like that Christmas time where everyone is posting, everyone is putting out their sales, so how do you grab their attention? How do you get them to stop on your post? Maybe it is doing that, something that's slightly different.
On Black Friday, do you think it's as big in Ireland as it is in, like, America and things like that? I would see it that it definitely would have been more of an American thing down through the years, but it probably is getting bigger here at the moment. Like,
yeah, I can't even any brand, like, even your small corner shop is probably doing some sort of sale. Like,
you know?
So I think it's just as big now in Ireland. Obviously, I think in America they would probably go like. They go gun ho for it though, like,
yeah, you know, over the top, like queuing from 5 a.m. so I don't think you have that.
No,
here,
not
like,
here, but
level.
I think you do have the amount of interest.
I think we will get to that stage.
Yeah.
Mm. We're 5 years behind America. It always happens. Even if you remember, even five or 6 years ago, Halloween wasn't as big now. Or as it is now, sorry. I think a lot more people are putting more effort into Halloween. There's Halloween parties. People are putting more effort into their costumes. A lot more adults are having Halloween parties themselves. So I think that Halloween is huge in the States.
Yeah.
It's a massive holiday for them. But we weren't as big here in Ireland up until...
I think now there's a bit more money floating around as well, that we have. Everyone has a bit more money to spend on. You know, your Halloween outfits, your bigger Christmas presents, your Black Friday gifts. You know, people have that added no expenditure to do.
I think
you're right though, that we are always like 5 to 10 years.
We follow what's happening. We definitely follow what's happening. But I think the reason Black Friday is so big, obviously, as well, is because it's so close to Christmas that people, I think, feel that if they don't get these, you know, the Santa presents at Black Friday, then they've missed out. You know, so everyone is jumping on it straight away. Everyone is getting those deals for the week that's leading up to it, and Cyber Monday as well, to make sure that they are set for Christmas.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Next thing we're moving on to is brand awareness. Brand awareness around Christmas time. Do you think it's hard for people to stand out again from the crowd
at Christmas
and your black, I suppose you're leading to Black Friday and your Cyber Monday, or is it it's more of a case of it has to be a call to action with your advertising?
I think when you look at it, when you look at John Lewis and Iceland and these companies that spend massive money on creating these Christmas videos, I don't think they get the return back from that video. So if you look at the John Lewis ad, I think they said it cost $8 million.
$5 million
to Elton John. I still don't like the video.
Fair play, Tom.
But like
that's good
but
business.
Do you think that they'll get that $8 million back in revenue from that video?
Like, I wouldn't think they're going to get it back today or tomorrow. Like, but I think probably over the years, like, they've invested maybe not to that level, but similar money. Like, I know they are known as the Christmas advert company. Like, you know, they're the go-to. So I suppose if you're talking brand awareness, like,
they are the number one for really. Yeah.
And they've,
for Christmas?
They've put,
for Christmas time.
Yeah.
But I think it goes to show that companies have massive spends when it comes to marketing, because again, they're not actually marketing a product. They don't sell pianos. So it's that thing of they're building their brand through their videos, and they're willing to spend $8 million on a 2-minute video that's posted once in the year. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, then
it's a very interesting way to do it though, isn't it? Like, that they're not actually, none of their products are in the video or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, the video isn't really anything to do with John Lewis.
Yeah, a hard sell, as you say. I love it that way. I actually perform when it's that way.
Yeah, because I suppose most brands would probably be considering, if they are thinking of doing a promotional video or anything like that, that they do have to get something in there, or it has to be, you know, revolve around theirs. Yep. Whereas if you can, I suppose, have a strong message or a standout message, like, and then your brand is just attached to it, it could work just as well. Like,
yeah, but that's the one thing, even to jump in on that, the John Lewis ads, they usually brought out a mascot from those ads to sell inside in John Lewis. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
So I know the year of, there was a penguin ad, that was maybe, that was probably five years ago now at this stage. They sold penguins then inside in John Lewis.
Yeah.
The year there was a teddy bear. Right, saying that. I know there's different characters each year, but they sold them inside John Lewis. This is the one year now they don't sell pianos.
They might sell Elton John figures.
They might sell Elton John. Yeah.
I'll buy one.
Aldi did it. Aldi had, you know, the carrot ad. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah. Joe, you haven't seen any ads.
Sorry.
this was last year as well. So they had an ad about a carrot called Kevin.
Is this the carrot and he's got a family and he has to get back to his.
That was last year's one, was it? I think this year's one again. They're in a cage. Is that the one?
Oh, yes.
And then against the parsnip, yeah. So, but I know last year they were selling that carrot as a toy. So that's the reason I bring that up is just I think it's the first year that John Lewis hasn't brought out that thing. Maybe they're starting to sell Elton John's, I don't know. But I think it's amazing to see the money that's spent behind just brand awareness in itself. The money that companies are willing to spend just for, you know, that one-off thing.
But yeah, I think it is that longevity thing, like, do you know, they're investing in their name over time, like, that they're known for that, rather than you go in now tomorrow and there's something to buy there based on that video, like, you know.
I think in Ireland, though, there's not another time like that.
There's not another
time during the year that people, that companies and brands are willing to spend that much money on that one time of year. In the States, you can see it, that companies will probably spend that money for Super Bowl.
Such a big window.
Yeah. Does it happen? I don't think it happens any other time in Ireland.
No, I think people's marketing budgets, they always put it towards the last quarter, really is their biggest budget towards the Christmas time. But I suppose that's when people are
purchasing
most, you know?
Exactly.
But no, you're right. I can't think of anything else outside of Christmas like the Super Bowl.
Do you think that companies, you know, John Lewis had now this year cost $8 million, $5 million to Elton John.
Don't begrudge Elton, like, you know, you're very hung up on the five.
I don't know how much.
He's a very expensive influencer, isn't he?
The reason I say that is I don't know how much, when they say it cost $8 million, I don't know if it was that total to even get it on TV, or I don't know if it cost another few million to get it on TV.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, and my question to you is that, do you think that companies and brands will start to move away from TV over the next few years and no longer post their Christmas ads on TV and only post it on the likes of Facebook, YouTube, Instagram?
I think so. Okay. I would agree. I think that because, like, even if I look at myself or my friends and stuff, I think, like, less people are watching TV. Like, I think live sport maybe is one big thing. The older generation obviously still will watch TV, that's what they were brought up with and stuff like that. But I think people now are using TVs for Netflix, YouTube, stuff like that, which is almost just like watch on your laptop or whatever. Like that Elton John ad was put on Twitter, YouTube, you know, it was put on all social media channels as well as just TV.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's placing your ads around certain things. I think that's where TV would live on, is your All-Ireland finals, your big matches on a Sunday, putting something on like on a Tuesday afternoon when nobody's watching TV. I think that's probably going to die with it.
Tumbleweed, like
I think specific advertising is where it's probably going to live on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm actually still surprised that they are placing it on TVs even now, because it costs so much. And you've no idea how many people have seen it.
You can
put it on TV and you know what's gone on ITV, you know what's gone on BBC, but you've no idea how many people have seen it.
Yeah, I suppose the funny thing is that TV advertising is so expensive that people are not willing to do it now. But if they almost dropped their prices to where it should be in the market, then people probably will go, okay, there's value in that because it's not as expensive as it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, there might be still some listeners or some viewers watching it.
Well, I just think it's so much easier, you know, if you were to put it only on social media it's easier for people to share it. So like, Joe, you haven't seen the Iceland one.
No.
Which I'm surprised at, right? But
four times saying it.
And I know it's not on TV. But like, it'd be easier for people to see it on social media, so I could share it and I could tag you two and say, did you see this video? Or I could tag my friends underneath it. I think it's so much easier for people to see videos on social media than on TV. I haven't seen any of the Christmas videos on TV.
The only one I've seen though was actually watching the Ireland Argentina match.
Yeah.
And the Boots ad came on.
Yep. Boots, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. Yeah.
It was Ireland New Zealand. No, I was watching. It came on around in an hour, I'd say, all around it. Like, yeah.
Do you think there's any way that a company or a brand can shit on the Christmas ads? That's my third time cursing. So you know the way, I remember a few years ago that when the Super Bowl was on, Volvo came up with this amazing marketing campaign. Joe, I don't know if you've seen this.
No.
I think it was, you know, around it. Joe hasn't seen anything.
Just say yes. Love of God.
Yeah, so it was good campaign, right?
Around the time of Super Bowl, there's so many car companies, so the likes of Ford, all the big car companies in the States place ads around the Super Bowl. And what Volvo actually did, they did a campaign on Twitter.
Yeah.
So have you seen this? So what they did was they basically told people to, anytime an ad of any car brand came on during the Super Bowl, what you have to do is you have to come on and tweet Volvo and use hashtag, I don't know what it was, maybe Volvo
Super Bowl or something.
Yeah, Volvo Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they were actually giving away a car for free. So they were going picking one winner to give away a car. So that for me was amazing, because obviously it was extremely clever, but all these other massive car companies and car brands were spending huge
frightening money.
Did they say it's like a million for a 10-second
ad? It's something crazy, you know.
So they were spending millions to get these ads placed on TV.
Volvo.
And Volvo were jumping on every single one of them. So every time one of those car companies their ad came on TV, people were straight onto Twitter tweeting Volvo. I'd like to see something like that done at Christmas.
Yeah.
It could be done. Is it something we should do?
Probably.
It could be done.
We'll talk about it.
Could you see it being done?
The guerrilla side of things?
Yeah, that is something clever because everyone is doing the same thing.
Mm.
Everyone is coming up with, you know, Christmas ad, a clever story, which is great. It's something that we actually love doing ourselves as well. But is there a way that a company or a brand can be clever with that and jump on it? I'm not asking you to answer it now, because I know you're both looking at me with like, don't turn to me.
It's like you're in school and the teacher,
you don't have your homework done. I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But do you think it's something that a company could jump on?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Okay. Wherever there's big attention, there's a possibility to jump on something, I would think.
Yeah.
Because I know, similar to the Volvo thing in Super Bowl, actually, a few years ago, I think it was Meteor at the time. Are they under air now, Meteor? Yeah. I think they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Late Late Toy Show was on, and they did something with James Kavanagh and someone else. It was like a goggle box type thing. I don't know the exact campaign, but use Twitter again like that and a hashtag, and they got massive engagement.
Yeah, so it took your attention away from the thing you were watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think wherever there's big attention, there's a possibility to jump on something, like something that's mainstream.
Yeah.
And these Christmas ads are, I suppose, aren't
they? Oh, definitely. It's actually a marketing that I love, because people are almost shocked into doing it.
Mm.
You know, they're so used to seeing the norm, and when someone asks them to do something different while they're watching this ad or this campaign, and if they jump away from it, it gets everyone talking about it.
Yeah.
But it's free.
Yeah, but it's like everything's going to get saturated. So again, how would you stand out from the crowd? And that'd be a good way to do it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Are we just giving away all the secrets there now?
Yeah. I think we'll leave there now, because there's too much.
Okay.
Before we leave it,
I
wasn't going to bring it up, but you guys.
Oh, here we go.
You guys are running a half marathon.
Oh, jeez, I was wondering what he was going to bring up.
Do you have more secrets that we don't know?
No.
Yeah, what did you tell us, Joe?
Nothing that you know about, isn't it?
Oh, we know, please.
So, how many days away is it now?
I almost feel like I'm like in the middle here, just like refereeing.
You're refereeing.
Yeah.
It's in how many weeks?
2.5 weeks, I think.
We have
two and a half weeks, yeah.
So for anybody that is listening, myself and Joe actually do our runs together, our long runs at the weekend together. But it's going to be a race day, isn't it?
It's going to be which?
It's going to be a race day. It's going to be each man to his own.
Oh, it is, yeah. I think the competitive side will come out on the day, but it's been going well, I suppose. How have you found the training?
Good. It allows me to eat more food. It allows me to have more chocolate and feel less guilty. No, I actually think it's fine. Obviously, I've a bad knee, and I was surprised that it didn't come up a lot more. any niggles in it, but I think you actually mocked me about it last week. I think I've actually changed my running style. That sounds really professional, doesn't it? I actually went away to the hills in Nepal, and I actually started changing my running. No, I didn't. I think one thing that was actually causing me to feel it more on my knee is that I'm not extremely tall, but let's say I'm 6 foot, so my running stride might have been.
You're 5'11".
Yeah, he's definitely not 6 foot.
There's women listening. There's women listening. 6 foot. I'm between 5'11" and 6 foot. Let's say we'll agree on that. But my running stride, I suppose I'd have a long enough running stride that I'd have more impact on my knee, so I'd spend longer time on the ground. So what I've actually found myself doing is taking smaller steps, spending less time on the ground, so it's less impact on my knee and on my hips. But what I'm trying to say is, I'm going to beat you on today. How have you been getting on?
All right, like it's actually. As you say, you're having no trouble with your knee. I went into it thinking I had two healthy knees, and I found out I have one dodgy knee, like just the amount of impact it's taken, I think. But yeah, it's interesting. I think it's mental.
I was just about to ask the question, yeah. How do you find it for mental health?
Mental is massive. Or for mental health, or from the approach to running.
Go on, you go too now.
I mean, for mental health, it's great. Like the endorphins you get off a run, like you're as high as a kite after it, like, you know, it's fantastic. And then the mental side of running, it's interesting. Like, I would have always done maybe the odd 5K or whatever, like just average Joe doing an odd 5K. Like, and
that's your job.
Average Joe drinking his cup of Joe, doing a 5K. But I think if you just, once you know the distance you're going to go kind of thing, you can just adjust to it. Like I did 10K now last night, and I'd never, before we started this, the most I'd ever done was 8, and would have thought 8 was like a marathon on a Tuesday night, like, you know. Whereas I did 10 now last night, and it was grand, like, you know.
We've said that from the start, that it's a mass, it's mind games. It's mind, I was going to say, it's a mind F. I won't curse a fourth time. But it is, seriously, because our long runs, this weekend, we're actually doing a 20K.
Yeah.
And us going out, knowing we're doing that, is so much easier than, let's say, doing a 15K run and at the end of it someone saying run another 5K.
Yeah, oh, you'd never do that.
You wouldn't do it because you're beat. Maybe it just means we're not mentally strong enough, Joe. But it's hard because you have that target in your head, that goal, and as soon as you reach it, if someone add on something again, it's so much harder. But no, running is definitely a mental thing. I think for anybody that is listening that is wanting to start to run, what would you recommend doing in terms of getting started?
Well, I think like a half marathon, having started the training, is achievable for like anyone who can run, like, you know.
Yeah.
But like, I suppose 5K would be the first thing that you'd look to do, really, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's setting goals, isn't it? Really,
yeah, just kind of
block it out.
Yeah. I think it's that thing, isn't it, where you think that you wouldn't be able to do, if you said to someone that hasn't run to do a 5K, they think they wouldn't be able to do it. But it's setting that thing, setting out, say you're going to run 3 times a week and you're going to do, you know, start off with a 2K and then a 3K and gradually build yourself up.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you said an 8K was a long run.
Yeah.
You're doing a 20K this weekend.
I know.
That's crazy.
Even the 14 last weekend, like, it was fine, like, you know. It's just for me mentally adjusting to the distance that we've set, like, you know, and that's fine, like, kind of visualizing what's going to be happening. Because you think it's this big grinding thing, or, but when you actually look at it, you're not doing anything too hectic, like, you know. It's more a steady state.
Yeah.
At a reasonable pace and just holding through.
I think that's
really
the hardest thing for people to start when they go out jogging. They don't know how fast they should be running.
Yeah.
So they go out and they're flying it because they feel like they're going slow. Then all of a sudden they get tired, so they have to slow down and try to speed back up again. But as you're jogging these longer distances, you know what your pace is, so you're able to stick at that consistent pace. It's fine. So half marathon, are you going to look to do a marathon after that?
Yeah, I'd say definitely.
Okay.
Maybe next year.
Okay.
Cork City Marathon's what? Early June, is it?
The first weekend of June, I think.
Possibly.
Okay.
Or else maybe abroad or something, you know, broaden horizons.
Yeah. Okay, so last thing, so predictions on half marathon. What time would you like to do?
I want to beat 1:50 anyway, is the goal. Like, I would have said 2 hours minimum, like, you know. If I go over 2 hours, I won't be happy, like, but 1:50, and if we could spring a surprise on the day and get anywhere near 1:40, we wouldn't say no to it, like.
Okay.
What about yourself?
Yeah, I think it's very hard with running because it's each day is different. Some days you go out and you could be eating shit the night before and you go, sorry, that's number four. You go out and you could be eating shit
the night before. He's the only person swearing.
Explicit content. You go out and, you know, you don't feel the best starting out, and you start running and all of a sudden you get a PB. and it's your best run ever. And then some days you can get up and you feel great, you feel loose, and you go out and run, and you just can't get the power into legs. So I think on the day you just don't know. But I would like to get around 145. If we can go 140, then it'd be great. So that means I'd beat you, Joe, if we got. But no, to be honest, to be totally honest, I just want to finish it. I really don't care.
Yeah.
And I know we joke about it. I'm not going out to try to beat you, or I'm not going out to try to get a certain time. I really do want to finish it. Obviously, try to have my eyes set on a certain time. But I didn't think I'd be able to run any kind of a distance with my knee.
Yeah.
And to be able to do a half marathon and finish it is a goal for me.
But it's a nice little fitness goal too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I was actually even thinking on my run last night. It like, would have done the odd 5K or whatever before, but now that you have this goal, you have to do the running, or you're not going to be. You have to put in the miles, or you're not going to be able to. Before, maybe I would have set my alarm and close for an early morning run, like the next morning. And the amount of times I just snooze and knock on for that run. But now you have to do it. Like, you've no other choice if you want to complete the.
Yeah, you have your set days that you're going doing your runs, and if you miss it, it's tough shit. You're not going to be ready on the day. But exactly. I think now, if you didn't have that goal, it's just kind of a thing of, I'll go tomorrow, I'll go the next day, and
it
just,
you could easily fall,
because it's happened. I done it.
But especially come up to Christmas time as well, it's like you've got a real nice goal before Christmas, so you can ease as much shit as you want then afterwards.
To be honest, so shit.
You said, well, if you're doing it, I'm doing it.
Well, that's one of the things with the half marathon too. I was like, oh, it'd be great, not to trim up, like, you know, you'd be in nice shape for Christmas. But I don't know, am I trimming up at all? Like, I think I'm eating more and more just to fuel the running, like, so.
But well, that's interesting. The last
thing. Shane's had enough.
The last
thing. Put it back.
He's no content. The last thing I just want to say is that the week after half marathon is our Christmas party.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a messy affair, because me and you are going to be probably sore and beat. Shane will probably have to mind us.
I'm actually doing a pre-warm up the week before. The day you're doing the marathon, I'm going for points.
Shane's in training himself.
That's my training. I
think we have to leave it there before we get ourselves.
Well, best luck, lads, with the half marathon.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Thank you, Joe, for joining us.
And
thanks for having me, lads.
Yep.
Pleasure.
Yep.
It was nice to see my desk get some productivity today.
It's about time, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you guys want to hear any topics, or want to for us to discuss any topics, or if you want us to bring on any special guests you want to hear, please send us a DM on Instagram. You can DM DanSweeney14.
Plug.
Yeah. Shane Murphy, DG.
Joe, plug. Go on.
Jail off one.
With that bokeh.
With the bokeh.
Or directly to DG guys_. So thanks, everyone. See you next week.